morning, everybody. I want to say happy Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and so we're going to be singing about the Holy Spirit, and we're so thankful to God that he sent his Spirit to earth to live and to dwell inside of us. And so again, we say happy Pentecost to all of you. We welcome you to the broadcast. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that you're blessed by the worship experience. Hope that you're blessed by the Word of God. Amen. I need your Spirit to fall fresh on me. I need your Spirit that gives me the strength that I need. When I fall on my knees, I know that you'll rescue me. I need your Spirit fall fresh on me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Is that anybody's prayer today to for the Lord to open up heaven and just pour out some of his spirit all over us, for his power, for his anointing? Everything we need, we get through him. Amen.
Power down.
for my spiritual
Holy Spirit.
Send your power down, Lord.
Send your power, Holy Spirit.
Open up heaven, Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Holy Spirit.
We cannot move without it.
Oh.
We cannot of your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, send some drops down, Lord.
Send your power.
Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Holy
we need Spirit.
You, yes, we do.
Holy Spirit.
Holy, holy, holy,
oh, holy. Holy Spirit.
Lord, we need your power.
Church member, our scripture today will come from Exodus chapter 2. I shall read verses 11 through 15. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, looking this way and that, seeing no one. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once upon a few of your children are calling upon that most holy and righteous name. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for little food that you gave us. We thank you for the waking us up in our right mind. Now, Heavenly Father, you know what's going on throughout the whole country. We ask, as the songs of Zion just got done singing, we want your Holy Spirit to fill this land. I know you got your soldiers, your Christian soldiers placed around this country. Let your spirit flow from them. Let them see how God is and what he can do. But Heavenly Father, please don't let us be afraid. Because if we step back and push the record, rewind, but we see how you brought us through. Now, Heavenly Father, let that spirit rule, lead, and guide. Bless the word that Reverend Rascal is going to give us today to give us hope, to put a little giddy up in our step. And Heavenly Father, once this word goes throughout the whole nation, Heavenly Father, let everybody know that you are still in control, that you are about your business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, we want to say good morning and welcome. Welcome to the broadcast. And we are so thankful again to God for this Pentecost Sunday. A couple of families that we'd like to lift in prayer today. Deacon John Bush and Sister Joyce Bush and their entire family, and the family of Sherry Connor. And if there are any others that we may not know about, if you all will let us know. Even now, you can let us know so that we can be praying for those families. We're praying for our pastor today as well, praying that God will strengthen him even as he preaches the word of God. So I'm singing this song. We did it a few weeks ago, but this song is for pastor. Song says, "He's my rooftop in the rage of a storm. I need everybody to clap your hands up right where you are. Well, he's my rooftop in the rage of a storm. He's my protector, that'll never be no harm. He is the bread that sits on the table. My God can do it, he's truly able. I'm gonna serve the Lord, yeah. Try my Jesus, try him out. He's worthy to be served. He's my rooftop, yeah, in the rage of a storm. He's my protector, gotta never do no harm. He is the bread that sits on the table. My God can do it, he's truly able. I'm gonna serve him. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna serve him for the rest of my life. Try him out. He's worthy to be served. He's my mountaintop when I was down in the valley. He's my road to Damascus when I lived in the alley. He's a good, good shepherd that watches over me. He's my hope, my joy, my victory. Well, he's my mountaintop when I was down in the valley. He's my road to Damascus when I lived in the alley. He's a good, good shepherd, and he watches over me. He's my home, my joy, and my victory. He's my mountaintop when I was down in the valley. He's my road to Damascus. It pays, it pays, it pays, it pays, it pays.
To thank God for our psalmist and our band and our everybody who has joined in helping us prepare and have this opportunity to worship today, and to all of you who are online, and for those few of us who are in here today as part of the team to help stream. So grateful for each and every one of you. Some preacher wrote that when it seems the hardest to preach, that's when you need to preach the hardest. Truly, we are living in some perilous times. The truth is, we've got a pandemic that has come on the top of a pandemic. And I don't mean that that the real pandemic has been here all the time. COVID showed up in February, but the real pandemic that has been ignored by many has been here all the time. But nevertheless, our God is still in control. Dear friend and beloved pastor that I appreciate and admire said that at times when you can't understand God's mind, God's actions, you got to trust the Father's heart. And I'm compelled to share with you today that we can't understand all that God is up to and doing. But as God being also our Father, you can trust his heart. Reverend Dwight read our text today, but for a point of emphasis, I do want to drop anchor at that 11th verse one more time. In the second chapter of Exodus, it says, "One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were, and he watched them. He watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people." The 12th verse says, "Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." The 13th verse says, "The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked one in the wrong, 'Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?' And the man said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?' And then Moses was afraid and thought, 'What I did must have become known.' And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian." That 11th verse, it says, one day he went out after he was grown, went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. I want to talk about today, not on my watch. The word watch, of course, for some, when you hear the word watch, You think of a time instrument that many people wear on their wrist. But the word watch also can be defined as a time or where an individual closely observes circumstance or situation. For a soldier, it's a period where he is on guard, closely observing a particular area. He's poised and ready to take action based upon his training and what he observes. In this second chapter, the great leader Moses, he has now become grown. I'll get to that in a second. But Moses, at this chapter, at verse number 11, he has been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. You know the story. Moses' mama and daddy were determined not to kill him. He was born under a pandemic where there was a law that says every boy born of an Israelite should be thrown into the Nile. They were trying to kill all the boys. But when his mama and daddy saw Moses, they were determined they weren't going to destroy, they weren't going to kill their little boy. And so for 3 months, they hid him. But as he began to get a little older, they knew that they needed to come up with another strategy. His mother, they made a little basket. And you know how the story goes. They made a basket and placed him in the basket and placed him on the water, and placed him by the reeds. And it was there that the Pharaoh's daughter, they went, and her damsels went down to the water, and she heard the baby cry. She heard the baby cry, and she called the damsels to bring him. And when she opened the basket, she saw the baby. She saw that it was a Hebrew, and she knew that it was a little boy, but the cry of the baby touched her heart. He was a different race, but the cry of the baby touched her heart. She knew what the law said, but the cry of the baby touched her heart, and because of her position, she used her authority to make a difference. Big sister Miriam, was right on the scene and said, "Would you like me to find somebody to help you raise this child? Would you like me to find somebody?" And the sovereign hand of God moved in such a way that Moses ended up being nursed by his own mama, and it provided a source of income for the family. But after Moses was weaned, it was Moses' mother then turned Moses back over to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter, at this point, she adopted Moses as her own. At this point, she named Moses, and at this point, she provided for Moses. Moses, at this point, has now moved to the point where he has the benefit of palace privileges. He's living on the other side of the tracks. He's got a whole new surroundings. With palace privileges, he has the benefit of a different kind of education. He is provided an education that is intent on providing an education that will prepare him for leadership and rulership. He's been given exposure so that he can operate at the highest levels with kings and queens at any level from any country. With palace privileges, he's got education, he's got exposure, and to a degree, Madia, he has some element of authority. He has the ability to tell some folk to do some things. There are some people that are under him. One thing's for sure, he doesn't know everybody's name, but everybody knows his name because he is a prince and he has palace privileges. But when you read through the text, when you get to verse number 11, it says, one day after Moses had grown up, Moses, he's grown now. And after one day, the text says he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their own labor. There comes a point, something happened along the way in the midst of the palace privileges Moses gets grown. What happens to him when he gets grown? He's grown. He has been exposed to the Egyptian lifestyle, language, and culture. He in essence, on one hand, he's an Egyptian, but on the other hand, he's still an Israelite. At this point, he knows where he's from. He knows who he really is. He has the education of the Egyptians. He has the exposure of the Egyptians. He has the authority of the Egyptians. But down underneath the skin, he knows what he really is. He is an Israelite. And one day, he musters up the courage, because he's grown now, that he wants to go on the other side of the tracks. Now, you need to know that when you've been given the authority, when you're a prince of Egypt, when you're Pharaoh's daughter's child, you don't walk nowhere. He gets in his chariot, if you will, and you don't go no place by yourself. Can't you see him? He's been out in the town before, but this time he makes a right-hand turn. And he crosses the tracks and he goes to an area where the Israelites were. It's a place that he doesn't normally go. That's why there's a point of emphasis. He goes to the place where his people are and he sees them. He sees them and he sees that they're working hard. The plight of the people is this. He sees this. He sees that they are working extremely hard. Now, what makes this difficult is as he ponders what he sees those people working hard. But those people and him have a whole lot in common. And then as he considers to ponder, as he keeps on pondering what he sees, he recognized that it could have been him in that place. It could have been. Matter of fact, Junior, it goes beyond. It could have been him. It should have been him. It goes a little further than that. If it had not been for grace, if it had not been for mercy, if it had not been for favor, he wouldn't have even been alive. But because of divine favor, God had allowed him to experience some things some other folk didn't get to experience, to experience some things that other folk would have never seen. And it does something to him. It does something to him. What do you do when you realize you've been blessed? What do you do when you realize you've been given extreme favor? What do you do? How do you respond when you know that God's been better to you than you could ever? What do you do when you realize, when you finally realize that God done not just filled your cup, but your cup's been running over? What do you do when you look at your life and then look at somebody else's life and see just how good God, how good God has been? He can't help. Something happens down on the inside. There's something that ought to happen down on the inside that helps all of us recognize the goodness of God and the favor of God. He sees the people. He sees how hard they're working. But then not only does he see how hard they're working, but it's one thing to work hard. It's another thing to not be able to benefit from the work that you do. The tragedy is, these folk are working hard, but they don't get a check for it. They don't get the benefit from it. They don't get retirement from it because they're enslaved. They don't get the benefit from the work that they do. And how can you not somehow feel a prick in your heart when you see people working but don't even get the benefit from all the work that they do? It ought to make you feel some kind of way, especially when those are your people. And you know, folk need to realize that every now and then, God allows a few folk to get a few zeros in the bank behind their name, and they forget who they are. But we live in a day where there's still people that are working extremely hard, and there are people that are sometimes never getting the benefit from the work that they do. Here's a man, he has palace privileges, and he sees the plight of his people. And he sees that the people are being oppressed. They don't get to benefit from the hard work that they do. And then we get to verse number 11. It's one thing for work to be hard. The work's already hard. But then he goes one day and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Now it's hard enough to be a Hebrew working hard. Now you got to deal with an Egyptian beating you because you are a Hebrew. It's evident that the Hebrew knows that he can't fight back because he's a Hebrew. And it's evident that the Egyptian thinks it's okay because of who he is, because of his race, and because of his authority. And so now you've got Moses, who sees, he sees an Egyptian. He's got two issues that he got to deal with. Let's deal with the first one. The first thing Moses got to deal with, he sees an abuse of authority. What do you do when you see an abuse of authority? He could have looked the other way, because that's what the law said. It was okay. Legally, it was okay, evidently, for an Egyptian to issue abuse on a Hebrew, legally. But morally is a whole nother thing. Moses realized that it may have been legal, but morally something was wrong with it. And when he considered that it could have been him, when he considered that it was one of his people, I really believe, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I really believe he had a Popeye moment. Put a pin right there, and I'm gonna go take you back. I know he hadn't seen Popeye, but back in the day, one of our favorite cartoons was Popeye. Now, Maria, you may have never had the benefit of Popeye, but Popeye was this little fella. He was a sailor man, and the primary characters in Popeye was Popeye, and he had a boo by the name of Olive Oil, and he had there was another dude by the name of Brutus, and Brutus was a bully, and Brutus was somehow always jealous of Popeye, and one way or another, somehow in the show, Brutus was always going to try to get down and oppress and abuse. He was always trying to rub out Popeye, and every now and then, what you'll discover is Popeye, he was the kind of fella who took some stuff. Every show, Popeye would get punched, and usually Popeye wouldn't say a word. They'd punch him two or three times. Halfway, almost two-thirds of the way through the show, Popeye was taking hit after hit after hit after hit, and then there would reach a point where Popeye would say these words, "I've had all I can stand, and I can't stands no more." And at that point, it came a point where Popeye was reaching for his source of strength, because it was a time he was going to stand up and make a difference. Popeye, his source of strength was spinach. Come on back. Let me tell you, when Moses saw what was going on with this Hebrew, he knew something down on the inside raged within him. He wasn't just mad. He wasn't just angry. Moses was filled with rage. And I would suggest that he knew that what he was about to do wasn't right. He knew it wasn't right. How do I know that? He knew that what he was about to do wasn't right. I can prove it, because the text says he looked this way And that way, he looked to see, to make sure nobody was about to see what he was about to do. And he jumped on that dude and he killed that guy. And then I know he knew it wasn't right because he buried him in the sand. Moses knew it wasn't right. He knew it wasn't right, but he had had enough. He was tired of seeing individuals, his own people, this individual's being abused. And he reacted violently. The text moves on and said, and the next day, Moses, I like this, because the next day he comes to check out his people again, which means he wasn't just going across the track one time. He had made up in his mind he was concerned about his people and he was going to visit them on a regular basis. He comes across the track again, and this time he's seen a Hebrew jumping on a Hebrew. And now he's got to deal with this. And something down on the inside, he said, now wait a minute, it's one thing for an Egyptian to beat up a Hebrew, but now I got to deal with, y'all don't even know how to treat each other. He's got a Hebrew beating a Hebrew. And because he refuses to sit idly by, he says, why are you? He speaks to the one who's in the wrong. I don't know how he knew which one was wrong, but he speaks to the one who was in the wrong. And he says to him, why are you hitting your brother? And the person spoke up and says to him, who made you? You ain't no ruler over us. And he says to him, you intend to kill me like you killed that Egyptian? And then it dawned on Moses that what he had done was about to go viral. What he had done, somebody about to put it on Facebook. You see, what he forgot was he did look this way and he looked that way, but it didn't dawn on him that the one who was delivered survived. And because he survived, he told everybody how he had been saved. Look at the story. You've got two issues here. You've got one person who is abusing their authority. And then you've got two individuals who are brothers, and yet they're fighting each other. Isn't that interesting when you think and look at what's going on even in our nation today? On one hand, you've got a few bad characters. Every now and then, it seems like every time you turn around, they're abusing their power. They've been given power to serve, but yet they abuse that power. And what's so terrible about it, what breaks our heart, is that they're so arrogant with it that even if it's on camera, they still won't stop. I struggle with the fact that people do it, but I also struggle with the fact that there are folk that watch them do it. Martin Luther King said, you know, sometimes it's not the wickedness of evil folk, because here's what everybody needs to understand. There's going to be wicked folk doing wicked things till Jesus comes back again. Wickedness is not going to stop. Wickedness is going to keep on even until Jesus comes back again. It's not going to stop. Martin Luther King said it's not the wickedness of evil people. It's the silence of good people. It's good people that don't step up. It's good people that don't speak up. What bothers me is I see one person with holding a person down with his knee on his neck, but there's three other people that don't say nothing. They don't do nothing. They hear him crying and they don't say nothing and they don't do nothing. But I'm telling you, the good God we serve, I'm telling you, God won't let a good tragedy go to waste. God has a way God has a way of using tragedy to open a whole lot of people's eyes. Have I got a witness here? And if you start looking at the pictures, you'll see that there's a whole lot of folk that are carrying signs that never carried signs before. You'll see there's a whole lot of people that are holding press conferences that never held press conferences before. You'll see people that are saying this was wrong, that have never said it was wrong before. Because if you keep on trusting God, God is working even when people are suffering. God is moving even when people are hurting. And I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to serve God even in the midst of tears and even in the midst of crying and trying times. On his watch, Moses would not sit idly by. So, Pastor, what do we do? You got this guy. Here's the image right here. You've got a person who's had some privileges. But those who've been blessed with privileges, education, exposure, opportunity, those privileges, education, exposure, that wasn't given to you just for you. When God blessed you to get on the other side of the tracks, it wasn't so you could build a wall. It was so you could build a bridge so that you could go back over and help somebody else get to where you are. Those privileges just wasn't given to you just so you could, in the words of E.V. Hill, get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. It was given to you so that you could have the privileges of helping somebody else. Oh, the whole picture, the beauty of the picture of Moses is that he's only just beginning. You see him standing as a person of justice. You see him encouraging people in a way of reconciliation. You see him being a leader trying to rescue people. But God is moving in a bigger way. He's painting a broader picture. He started him. He was born in the midst of peril in a pandemic where he was supposed to die. But in the midst of the pandemic, God gave him palace privileges. And with the palace privileges, God gave him a heart for the plight of his people. And then when he saw the plight of his people, he stood by, but he would not be still. And he concluded in his actions, there's some things he just wasn't gonna stand for. Even if it cost him his family, even if it cost him the Egyptian privileges, he stood, even though after standing he had to go on the run. But God wasn't done with him. God wasn't done with him. God continued to use him and ultimately use him to rescue the people in a mighty and mighty way. So what do we do? How do you respond in times like these? Here you go. As children of God, first thing I want to tell you, God has given you some privileges. You got the privileges of knowing God. Now, you don't completely understand God. You don't know everything there is to know about God, but you do understand some things about God as Father. And you do know that he's loving. You do know that he's forgiving. And you do know that he's in control. And you do know that he's a God who will take those who are wicked and will turn their lives around and bring them into the family and then turn around and use them to do great things for the kingdom. Come here, Paul. Paul was an enemy of God, but then God saved him and then used him to win people all over the world. And still this day, people are being won to the world as a result of God using Saul, who persecuted the church. And now we're still reading letters of the Bible as a result of God using that individual and changing his life. You know that. So understand number two, don't discount the power of prayer. Don't discount the power of prayer. I know it's hard to pray. I know it's hard to pray. I know it's hard to pray when you see things like this, but don't discount the power of prayer. Sometimes in prayer, you just got to cry. Sometimes in prayer, you got to say, God, where's the Samaritan? Sometimes you got to pray and just tell God, God, I'm mad. God, I can't stand this. And that's okay. God ain't afraid of your anger. God is not afraid of your frustration. Go on and tell God, because here's what will happen. When you tell God you angry, when you tell God you upset, when you go to God in prayer, and here's what I discovered, when something makes you mad, here's what God will say, now what you gonna do about it? You mad, so what you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about it? Because sometimes you need righteous indignation to make you wanna do something, so what you gonna do about it? Have I got a witness here? And see, the difference between people, we don't have spinach. Have I got a witness? We're not powered by spinach. We're not powered by our own strength. We're powered by we have the power of the Holy Ghost. Have I got a witness here? So even though we got Glocks, we don't necessarily pull them, because we're powered by the power of the Holy Ghost. We got rocks, but we don't necessarily throw them, because we're powered by the power of the Holy Ghost. We got a cusser, but we don't necessarily throw the words, because we're powered by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you get angry, God will use the power of the Holy Ghost to help you do something powerful. So instead of throwing rocks, why don't you, instead of marching, why, I ain't saying don't march, but on your way down to the celebration, march by the voters' registrations office. On your way down to the celebration, why don't you march and vote early? On your way down somewhere, why don't you march and put some money in the bank? Why don't you start a scholarship? Why don't you make up your mind? Here's what I decided. I'm going to invest. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to invest in the future of children who will become adults that will infiltrate the world as leaders representing Jesus Christ. And I want somebody leading the schools representing Jesus. I want somebody as a police chief representing Jesus. I'm gonna raise me a judge who will represent Jesus. I want my grandbaby to become a colonel representing Jesus. I want somebody, have I got a witness, to become an attorney general who will represent Jesus. You can be proactive, have I got a witness, and sow into the lives of children, because one day they'll become grown. And when they become grown, little children who love Jesus can grow up to be grown folk that love Jesus, and grown folk that love Jesus will love people, and they'll love humanity, and they'll serve God by serving people at a high level. I'll say it again. They'll serve God by serving people at a high level. They'll serve God by serving people at a high level. Martin understood it. Martin understood it. We can't beat them with guns. They got more guns than we got. But we can beat them with love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. Yesterday, young man that I'd been discipling for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, every Saturday he takes teenage boys to the farm, and they wrestle with goats, and they do animal husbandry. And I called him and I said, Troy, I need to meet y'all when y'all get done. And so when they got done, we met at a park, a picnic table, and me and Eric had pizzas and sodas for them. And I sat them down, and Troy, he got quite a crew. We got We got some African-American kids. We got some white kids. We got some biracial kids. These are city boys. And they smelling like goats. And they just having fun being in the country. And so they're sitting down eating pizza. And they finally get to meet Rev. That's what they call me. They call me Rev. And so I spoke to one. I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Ryan, and I really appreciate Troy letting me come and be with the goats today, get to make a little money." And I said, "Well, son, I tell you what, this is how we roll." I said, are your mom and dad together?" And he said, "No, me and my mom and dad's not together." I said, Do you live with your mama?" He said, "No, I don't live with my mom." I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 19. I said, "Okay." I said, "Do you have a good relationship with your mother?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, tell me your mama's name." He told me his mama's name. I said, "Well, son, I need to meet your mama." And I said, "Because I need your mama to know me, and I need to know her, and I need her to know that when you with me, when you with us, that we care about you and we're going to take good care of you. And when you go home talking about I'm with Reverend Roscoe and Troy and we're up in Pike County at a farm," she needs to know who you're with and what that's all about. And she needs to know who I am, and I need to know who she is, and I need to know her contact number so that if anything happened to you, I know how to reach her." I said, "It's old school. That's how we roll. Adults are connected. It's not just about you. The parents, the adults, have to be connected." And he's a little fella, white fella, I've never met before, first time. The big old smile on his face, and now he's a part of the team. And it doesn't matter what he sees on TV, doesn't matter what he's heard about black men, doesn't matter what he sees in videos and hip-hops, he knows at least one black man that prayed for him. He knows at least one black man that gave him a chance to work. He knows at least one black man that invited him and gave him an opportunity that he never had before. And y'all, if we will just disciple people one person at a time, it'll make a difference. If we'll just love people one person at a time, we can make a difference in our community, in our state, country, and world. Jesus showed up and discipled 12 people. They went out, and one person at a time, they turned the world upside down. And we're preaching the good gospel today because of what Jesus did on Calvary. God loved us so much that he sent his son, because God wants everybody to be a part of his family. Our sin separated us from God, but God sent his son, and on the cross, Jesus, dying on the cross, paid for your sins and mine. Everybody who places their faith in Jesus Christ can be saved. Believing that he died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. Matter of fact, you can be saved today. Life with Jesus Christ can begin today. And the good news is it'll last a lifetime. Do I have an explanation for all the trials that we face in the world? No, 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 no. Are there things that we'll see that breaks our heart? Absolutely. But within all of those things that we see, I dare you to turn to the Father. Don't discount the power of prayer. Don't discount the privilege and opportunity to see the opportunity of seeing what God is doing in the bigger picture. Because it could be God has given us an opportunity to love on somebody and to serve him and to draw them closer to him. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. There is righteous indignation that is rightfully deserved. But it should be done in a way that is done in a way that is not destructive. There are many people that don't know the Lord. Y'all, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, many of us, we'd do some things and we'd say some things that would be just as destructive. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God allows us to yield our lives to him. Doesn't mean we don't cry. Doesn't mean we don't get angry. But in the midst of it all, I'm determined to trust my Father. I'm determined to walk with him. I'm praying for you. My prayer for you is that if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that you do so today. We would love for you. We would love to know, Pastor, I received Christ as my Savior today by faith. We'd love to do that. Pastor, I want to be saved. I've never been baptized, but I would love to. Matter of fact, if you do that, we'll reach out to you and we'll even arrange for a time where we can baptize you. We would love to do that. Pastor, I've been saved, but I don't have a church family to call my own. Can I get connected to Nazarene? Of course you can. Let us know. You let us know right there on that page, and we'll reach out to you. Pastor, I need prayer, and we'll do that. We have a space even on our webpage where you can reach out and share your prayer request, and we'll return that prayer request. We love you, and we thank God for you. Thank you for being with us today. Let me pause right now and share with you. Thank you for those of you who've been so faithful in your giving. We're excited that you have continued to provide support. Because of that, we are able to continue to do what we do. We are working very diligently to prepare for our opening again. We want to open safe and we want to open strong. We are excited about preparing and even enhancing what we're doing with our streamlining. Many of you know we have Zoom Bible studies. We've got a Zoom Bible study for our Wednesday class. Sister Trudy has a class that is Zooming. We've got two Sunday school classes that are Zooming. I have a men's class on Tuesday nights that are Zooming. We have a college course that is Zooming. And so we're excited about that. You can check out the webpage and find more information there. Thank you again for your participation. I lift up, please continue, please pray for the Ricketts family as Sister Sherry Ricketts passed, and we want to please remember her daughters in prayer. Please remember them in prayer. I want to ask that you please remember Mother Dora. She's in the midst of hospice, and again, pray for Sister Joyce and Brother John Bush in the passing of their son. His homegoing celebration is going to be Tuesday. Again, God has been real good to us, and so we're grateful and we're thankful. Junior, am I missing any other announcements? Okay, all right. At this time, we're going to close in prayer. Love you. Thank you so much, Brother Jerry, Sister Maria, and Tracy, to all of our team. Thank you so much. Let us close in prayer. And God, we love you and we thank you. It is our prayer that we will not sit idly by, but that we will engage. You have given us privileges as Son of the Most High God, given us knowledge, given us exposure, given us experiences. There's things that we know that others don't know. There's things that we know about you, Father, that others don't know. We know you as a healer. We know you as a comforter. We know you as a Savior. Now, dear God, give us discernment. Give us the boldness that we'll share those experiences with others. Father, help us to acknowledge and be sensitive to the plight of our brothers and sisters in our community, in our city, even in this world. And as we face the challenges of the pandemics that we're going through, as we face even racist acts, help us, oh God, to be respectful, because there are so many of our officers, they do the right thing the right way every day. And so we don't blame everybody as if they're doing wrong. But God, there's a few. They need to be held accountable. And so I'm praying for the system that it will work in a way that will hold them accountable. And I pray that even when we stand and express righteous indignation, that it will do it in a way that would bring you glory, that will bring you honor. For those that are hurting, I pray your comfort. For those who have lost loved ones, I pray your strength. For those who are sick, I pray your healing hand. Have mercy, O God, upon us as we leave this place. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the strength we feel as a result of worshiping you today. You be with us and help us to go and apply this word that we've heard today. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Much love to you. Amen.